We don't. This guy is listening to us just BS here.
I kind of want to jump in, but you know,
jump in before you go on. This is Chris Kurzman, by the way, everybody from the artspartnership.net.
Tell us some cold stories.
Well, you know, it has been fascinating watching the national news because it's been really interesting to see the resurgence in the throw the hot water, boiling water up in the air thing, and how you know, I remember doing that back when I was a kid. And I don't know if it was like a, you know, just a thing that people used to do, but I've grown up with that. Like that's not a huge surprise. And then it sort of had this little resurgence here like a couple of weeks ago. And then all of a sudden it must have like filtered through the YouTubes and all this stuff to where, like, I don't know, they must be doing it on like Good Morning America or something now, you know, because it's all over the place. And it's super interesting how, this is the one time where we get to say like, hey, yeah, we got this. Like, we know how to do this.
Well, when I don't recall exactly who did it, I do think that one time somebody had left a banana outside and let it freeze and then drove a nail with it.
Yeah, the banana hammer.
I've seen that.
Yeah.
So
I saw a video on YouTube this past week. Somebody had put warm water, like with the throwing the hot water up in the air, had put hot or at least warm water in a super soaker.
Oh yeah,
and was
yeah.
Spraying that out onto the deck of their house, and it was creating ice crystals.
You know what we did? We tried it with food coloring.
Nice.
So we wanted to see if it would, and it sort of made it. We used green food coloring, and it sort of made this green shimmer, and then it made like some green snow. It really wasn't all that dramatic, but I mean, we tried it, and it was you got to do what you can. Right?
Green snow is good. Just stay away from the yellow snow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Your show, Bob. on to you.
Frank Zappa was very correct on that. 11 minutes past the hour. Chris Kurzman is here, our arts experts for our Archibald segment is what we call this once a week. And we look at some of the things that are happening in the arts world. He is with the artspartnership.net, head of the Arts Pulse blog at that very location on the website. And when I asked Chris to come, and I know it's kind of short notice because there was big news last night over at the Fargo City Commission, and it looks like they're going to be setting up a task force to help develop public art around the city. And I'm just kind of surprised this was on their radar that they wanted to do something like this.
Yeah, I think the sort of the immediate background of this goes back to a couple of years ago. Fargo went through a strategic planning process called Go 2030. They looked for a lot of input from Fargo residents, the Fargo community, to sort of dictate a direction that and set some goals for the city to hit by 2030, hence the name Go 2030. And one of the big things that came out of that was that a lot of people wanted to see more public art and wanted to see the city more, I think maybe taking it broadly, to see the city more broadly involved in getting involved in taking an active role in having art placed and things being more intentionally placed in and around Fargo. So there's been a couple of things that have happened since then. There was the Fargo Project, which was an attempt to create sort of an intentional green space in Rabanus Park. There's been a couple other things, but this was the first time that we've seen like some real organizational action, I guess is probably a good term to use, from the city, from the Fargo City Commission. And anytime you see any sort of policymaking body directly addressing like, hey, we need more art, is always a good thing. it is fantastic when it gets discussed, and then when it gets such a resounding positive vote. It was a unanimous vote from the commission, lots of great things I think were said by the commission in terms of what Fargo needs as a city in terms of public art, and ways that we can move forward to have more of it and have what we have be special and worth it.
I may be wrong on this, but the last time I can recall the Fargo City getting into any type of outdoor artwork would have been the, I forget what they call it, the bridge, and then also the Sodbuster that was there on Main Avenue and Broadway for a while, because mm-hmm. people were asking them to, you know, refurbish it, put money into it, and clean up these things and get them back to work. But I think that was probably the last time I ever heard of Fargo getting into this. So that has been quite a while.
Yeah, I'm forgetting some dates here, but the Sodbuster, I want to say, came down in like the late 90s, maybe the early 2000s. I think I knew the dates at one point. Mm-hmm. And of course,
you should, because you hit it when you were with Plains Art.
Yeah, exactly. We didn't hide it, Bob. We were protecting it. no, it's a great point. And it's interesting you bring that up. I think, you know, there weren't really any specifics that came out of this, this action from the commission. You know, basically the task force, as far as I know, will have a couple of commissioners on it. We'll have representatives from the Plains Art Museum. There should be a representative from the Arts Partnership, which I'm going to assume would be my boss, Dana. And then some other members from the community at large. And, you know, at this point now, they don't have dollar amounts attached to anything. But I think, you know, once this task force gets moving, it's going to have the weight of the city commission behind it. It's going to have, you know, the full faith of the city of Fargo behind it. And I think they'll come up with some pretty interesting projects pretty quickly. And it'll be really interesting to see moving forward what kind of stuff they work on. I guarantee, you know, Sodbuster will probably come up in some discussions. There's still a lot of work that needs to be done on Sodbuster. And it'll be really interesting to see what happens with that. But there will be some other ideas for either smaller scale projects, things where, you know, they might redo a park or work with some of the public spaces in a way that makes them a bit more inviting and a bit more welcoming. There's a lot of really innovative uses of public art, and to get artists involved in the city planning process, it was really nice to hear Mike Williams say, like, sometimes you just got to get an artist involved at the beginning of some of these planning stages, and then some really interesting things can happen. They might be the way things are laid out or how they're designed, so that they, you know, entice people to gather or be in a certain place in a certain way, doing something at a certain time of day or something. You know, there's once you get artists involved in that process at that point, there's a lot of really interesting things they can do.
It's been down for a long time, so forgive me for those folks who don't know what we're talking about. We should explain, you can do it better than I can, what was Sodbuster? What is Sodbuster?
Yeah, Sodbuster was the city of Fargo put out requests for projects, and this Sodbuster went up. Oh man, I am totally spacing on dates. I want to say it was in the early 80s. And an artist by the name of Luis Jimenez won the bid for the project. And he came in and he constructed Sodbuster, which is Luis Jimenez had this really interesting method of doing sculpture where he made molds and then created these large-scale fiberglass sculptures. And for anybody who may not remember it, Sodbuster is... you know, for lack of a better term, a really big, burly, bearded guy like pushing a plow and two oxen pulling the plow. And that stood at the corner of Broadway and Main Avenue for about 20 years, 20, 25 years. I'm totally messing up these dates. Google this stuff. the Plains Art Museum should have some good information on it. And then that was taken down largely because City of Fargo wanted to widen Broadway. And Sodbuster was sort of in the way, and to move Sodbuster meant to do some pretty significant restoration work to it. And I think now the dollar total on doing some of that restoration to the point where Sodbuster can be again displayed is pretty significant. So
I'm just reading on the Google. It was originally commissioned by the Fargo Parking Authority in 1978, and was formally gifted by the City of Fargo to the museum in April of 1991. I don't have the date here exactly when it came down, but so it was a very, you're absolutely right, probably 20, 25 years that it was sitting there in that position.
Thank you, Google.
Yeah.
yeah, and it's really interesting, and to sort of circle back to the commission vote last night. So that was undertaken by the Parking Authority. Like at that time and you know, up until now, they're... you know, we have the Arts Partnership, which is partially funded by the cities of Fargo, Moorhead, and West Fargo, the organization I work for. And that's part of what we do, but it's not, we're not quite at the level of being directly mandated by the city to have a specific, a specific aim or specific project goals. This is something that at the city level will have some fairly specific aims and goals. And that's pretty interesting. And that's fairly significant. Anybody in, involved in parking authority wouldn't be able to choose public art, but to have a group of people for whom this is, something they think a lot about and that they're very passionate about and that they've got some knowledge and experience of, the range of projects they'll be able to come up with and the types of projects they'll be able to come up with, I think will be really interesting.
But by the way, no, I was going to ask you too, that this is a project for new art, or are we talking about not only new art, but taking care of the old art that's already put up? I'm thinking of the statue down at Island Park and, mm-hmm. and the Statue of Liberty near the Main Avenue Bridge and all the buffalo we have around this city. Is it a combo of that? Is that what they're looking at, or just new art?
From what I've read, from what we've been able to, we've had some brief discussions with a couple of the commissioners who are involved in that. There's nothing really that specific that's come up yet. I guess there's probably going to be a little bit of both that's coming up. There's going to be some talk about maintaining and restoration of the stuff we have. One of my favorites is that statue in Island Park of the from World War One. It's a soldier, World War One soldier. It has such an odd, like, it's up really high, so you can see it from far away, and you get close to it, and it's that's a really interesting piece. But there's a good chunk of public art in and around Fargo that will need some care and will need some restoration work, and I'm sure that will be one of the issues that they discuss.
Right. 8:21 is our time here at the Mighty 790 KFGO. Our Archie McCullough segment, we may go a little long today, but if we can't get all this, because we've got a lot of all things to talk about, too. So we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more here on the Mighty 790 KFGO. Volare, yeah, we were talking about the Rat Pack, too, a little bit there before we started the show tonight. This is the Mighty 790 KFGO Nighttime Live. We've got hockey tonight, by the way, at 9 o'clock. Wild out in Los Angeles to take on the Kings. 9 o'clock, the pregame show dropped up with a puck right around 9:35 or so. Well, last night, we've been talking about this, Chris, and I'm just going to play a couple of audio cuts here for you. The Fargo City Commissioners approved the creation of a public art task force. And Melissa Sobolek recommended it. She says the idea has been on a priority list set out by the city's long-range development plan, but not yet touched. And she says it is time.
We all know the top priority of Go 2030 was flood protection. The next is promoting infill. And the third was public art. And it feels like we've made some really good strides in flood protection and in promoting infill. But public art, we have yet to make some work in.
So Sobolek says that the task force will review the existing art in the city and then look at what other cities do for public art and create a plan aimed at bringing more public art to Fargo. So not just looking at what we got, but to bring more as well. Yeah. And there was one other note, too, from Mike Williams, that because of this plan he approved last night. He says that up until now, little has been done, and he gave this observation.
This type of a task force, basically doing an inventory. What have we got?
Absolutely.
And
yep.
What do we want? And where can we do things that just meeting people together? But I think it's a great idea.
It's a great idea. It's about time. So that came around.
We're big fans of Mike Williams and Missy Sobolek around our office. But that sounds about right. I think that's the kind of step that we not only encourage Fargo, but Moorhead, West Fargo, any other community to make, is to make this this sort of intentional decision that this is a priority for the people in our city, in our community, and that that if we're all sort of on the same page and saying, like, hey, we want to do something that these things add value to cities, they add you know, a lot of very short-term things. I mean, they provide work for an artist or a team of artists. But they also provide a lot of long-term benefits. You know, so many cities and towns across the world are identified by significant landmarks, and many of those are public art, or are, you know, a lot of them are, you know, they're the Golden Gate Bridge or something like that. But a lot of them are like the Bean in Boston, or Mount Rushmore, something like that. That
or the wood chipper in Fargo.
Wood chipper. Well. close. But these things that leave an indelible mark on a community and provide it with a distinct identity and something that no other city has, something that does something that no other thing in that city does. And so this is such a great step. I look forward to see what, you know, what happens with it, and we'll certainly keep everybody abreast as to, you know, to what's going on. I also enjoy seeing some really good discussions in and among the community. I know, you know, I'm just sort of thinking back to what I know of public art going up in communities across the country. A lot of times debates and discussions get very spirited and very heated. Not necessarily heated, but I don't necessarily want to see that. But you get some really lively discussion going about. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Sodbuster went up, Sodbuster had this sort of divisive effect. There were a lot of people who were like, oh, I don't know about that. And there were some people like, hey, I really like it. But then you fast forward a few years later, when Sodbuster went down, people missed it dearly, and people still talked about it, and people still wanted to know, well, what happened? Where'd it go? When are we going to get back? And that's the kind of thing that public art does for a city and for a community. It gives people this reference point that they can't get from anything else.
A lot of people don't miss that asphalt bridge, though, that was across the street from it.
Yeah,
you know?
I've seen photos of that. I never saw that live. That's...
Made out of railroad ties or something? I can't remember. But
from what I remember...
It represented the bridge of Fargo-Moorhead, you know, getting together, and it was, you know, I mean, it's just... personally, I thought it was ugly. Sorry about that. So anyway, but I have to say that, again, it's probably come to the front because, as you said, people are getting more and more into the arts. They want to see more things develop. I mean, for crying out loud, I mean, you see like the painted bison, you know, we see all over the place. The murals have been placed on some of the larger buildings in town, you know, some of those old classics, that some of those that they've actually gone back and, you know, just the shading of an old advertisement and then put it back on. You know, and clear. I mean, it's just an amazing deal.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things where, you know, if you have a house and you move into your house and, you know, one of the first things you do is, well, we got to get this plumbing fixed. And you get the plumbing fixed and the plumbing works. And then, well, you know, we're not real crazy about our floor in the living room. So you replace the floor in the living room. And then you're like, well, what about, you know, what about painting the exterior a new color? What about doing something with our landscaping? What about giving ourselves some curbside appeal? So the sign of a community that's looking toward its aesthetic growth is a sign of a really healthy community. It's one that's got its ducks in a row. It's doing well. Its citizens are doing well, and it wants to exemplify the pride and the involvement and the all the things that are happening there with something that's you know, external and that we can show to people who visit, that we can take pride in when we live here.
Chris Kurzman is our special guest tonight, our Archibald segment. He's with the artspartnership.net, and he is the head honcho, as I call him, of the Arts Pulse blog. And we're going to talk about a few other things here that are happening in the region. Right now, we're keeping a little later than usual tonight. So what we're going to do here is we're going to take a brief break here in just a moment and talk to you. The Tell is tomorrow night, right?
The Tell is tomorrow night. That's right.
The Tell is tomorrow night. We got the Plains Art is going to have a deal coming up. Also, the FM Symphony and the M-Comps, too. This is going to be an interesting project. Well, you know, we have just a little bit of time here. Let's talk about The Tell real quick tomorrow night.
The Tell, which your listeners will... recognize me talking about all the time, is a community storytelling project, or story slam, series of these events that happen on a monthly basis. And the one for January is coming up tomorrow night. It's starting a little later than usual. The doors will be at 7:30, and the tell will start at 8. It's at Studio 222 downtown, right on Broadway in Fargo. It's right next door to Atomic Coffee on Broadway. And people tell stories. It's a very simple premise. People in the audience are encouraged to get up to tell stories that are unrehearsed, that don't have any props, that aren't prepared. People just tell stories about their lives. They tell stories about, there's a theme, I guess, every month. This month's theme is surprise. So people are encouraged to tell stories that are, you know, themed around surprise, I guess.
So they get and the winner gets a space eater.
The winner gets a
No, I really? Just made that up. Because it's so doggone cold.
That's a surprise.
Bob, unprepared. We'd be perfect for that.
You guys would be fantastic.
Do they do duets? I mean, do two people get up
no,
there?
No, you can't do that. You can't riff off each other.
Ooh,
but
so it'd be a competition.
Yeah.
Competition.
A little bit of a competition between the...
Man, I don't know if we could do that. We'd have to work with each other afterwards.
I'm fully willing to do unprepared. That I'm good at.
Surprise, surprise, surprise. All right, that's the tell tomorrow night at 2:22. And once again, that's at 8 o'clock.
At 8 o'clock.
7:30 doors open.
Doors at 7:30, 8 o'clock. I believe there's a $10 cover.
Okay, very good. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about the Plains Art, and they have an exhibition coming up starting Thursday, the Symphony, Yempcom Center, and a whole bunch more. We're going to take a brief break, a look at our national news coming up, and more with our Archie McCullough here on the Mighty 790 KFGO. Kind of ties in with our next segment here on Archie McCullough on KFGO. By the way, hockey tonight at 9 o'clock, Wild and the Kings. And the Plains Art Museum is starting up an exhibition on Thursday. Chris Kurzman from the artspartnership.net. Mm-hmm. What's this all about?
Well, it's actually called My Generation, Let's Take It Over, which I guess I talked to Christian Guion last week. He's the curator for this show. He actually took the name of the exhibition from a Patti Smith version of My Generation, there by The Who. So, which I'm not familiar with that version. Oh. Woo. That's hot.
Okay, that's good. That's very good. It's 24 now before 9 o'clock. I'm glad we got the button on that one.
Really?
So, oh, you missed it?
Oh, yeah. I've heard worse on this station.
No, I don't think you have.
Yes, I did. After a Bison football
game. I'll just keep talking about the exhibition.
Yeah, let's hear about the exhibition.
So,
you wanted it. You got it. There you go.
So, again, the curator for this exhibition is a gentleman by the name of Christian Guion. Christian is an artist. He's done some curatorial work for the Plains Art Museum. He's also done some like freelance stuff as well. And he wanted to do something that would, one, introduce some emerging artists to the museum gallery setting. And he also kind of wanted to sort of mess with some of the... you know, preconceived notions of what a lot of people expect from a museum gallery show. And so there's a lot of installation work. That was a big thing with Christian. He wanted to have stuff that wasn't necessarily on the walls, things that are based around these installations that sort of mess with the museum gallery space. There's an artist by the name of Kelly Cantrell who did a very large gun made out of cardboard that was made on a laser, or excuse me, not a 3D printer, a laser cutter. So created all these parts of a gun out of cardboard, and then they are assembled without any glue, I believe, and then that'll be hung in the gallery. Quite a provocative image. There's a glitch artist by the name of Stephen Hammer. I think we maybe discussed glitch in some of Stephen's work last week.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
Earlier in the summer too, he I did a write-up on him, and Stephen does this really great work where he uses what are called induction coil pickup microphones, and he puts them next to electronic objects like iPads and his MacBook and stuff, and then he gets these really weird sounds out of them. So he's rigged up this installation that uses those and also broadcasts the movie. He's showing the movie Solaris, and part of it is going to be glitched on this TV that doesn't work. Anyway, and then it's going to, as all of this is going on, he has these induction pickup coil microphones placed all over it, and then that's the audio you hear. So it's going to be a really interesting show. I think it's one of those that if you're you want to, you know, look ahead a generation at what artists are going to be doing on a more regular basis, these are some pretty forward-thinking artists, and then also people who are using art as a tool for provocation. They're using art as a way to get people to ask. I interviewed Stephen today for it, and he actually said, "I hope people get a little freaked out by my piece. I hope people look at this and say, is this really art?" And he really wants people to ask that question.
So, by the way, we have a Gion who works here. He does sales.
They are brothers.
They are brothers.
Yeah, Rick and Christian are brothers.
Yep. Absolutely. FM Symphony. What's coming up with them?
The FM Symphony has looks like a fantastic program coming up this weekend. Their concerts, as always, will be at the NDSU Festival Concert Hall Saturday at 7:30, Sunday at 2 p.m. And the new musical director at FM Symphony, Christopher Zimmerman, has chosen a program that's called American Genius. And these are all American composers. So there will be some Aaron Copland, Overture to Candide and On the Waterfront by Leonard Bernstein, and then a piece by Jonathan Leshnoff, the piece is from 2010. So I think you can expect to hear something kind of modern and really up to date. Incidentally, we were talking earlier about the boiling water in the air trick. Linda Boy, the director at the FM Symphony, mm-hmm. actually posted a photo on their Facebook page, I think yesterday or today, maybe, of Chris Zimmerman, who grew up near London. He's also worked in some other cold climates like Toronto and stuff, but, you know, he's from London. And since he's in town leading the symphony, they had him do the hot water, boiling water trick. So if you go to fmsymphony.org, or I believe actually you go to their Facebook page, you can see Christopher doing that. Christopher, he's a great guy. You can totally tell he was having a lot of fun with that.
Linda and I are Facebook friends. I should take a peek at that.
Yeah.
And then we have one more item here to talk about, and that's happening over the MComp Center. I don't know how to pronounce this. The PIGA Project?
I believe it's pronounced the PIGA Project.
PIGA Project, okay.
Yeah,
by the way, if Sandy Buttweiler's watching, listening in, I'm shutting your Facebook down. So there we go. And I'm not writing anything.
You guys in your Facebook
what
words.
What did she do?
She looked her Facebook up.
And you closed it already?
I closed it without doing anything.
Why do you announce to me that you had her Facebook page open?
Why wouldn't you want to know? Last time you came
around. I'd like to know while it's still open.
Last time you came around here and go, yeah, let's put this in here. And we did. And
So why do you tell me this after you've already closed it?
Ugh. So at the Historical and Cultural Society of Clay County at the Yum Coast, they'll be opening up an exhibition on the 12th at 2 p.m. That's Sunday, I believe. They'll be doing an opening of an installation called The PIGA Project, Women, Immigration, and Resilience. And this is a multimedia installation that's being put into place by an artist by the name of Jill M. Johnson. And she's been collecting stories and looking at the issue of migration to this area of the country from Sweden primarily. And she is taking a look at it from the era of the Great Migration in the 1800s until present day, focusing primarily on Swedish women, the image or the challenges that they faced, the things that they've gained. So there's a lot of narrative, a lot of really interesting, cross-cultural observations that we can expect from that. The opening reception will be at 2 p.m. on the 12th at the Hume Coast.
Very good. Very good. Any other things we should talk about before we
turn
into this?
I think you should
probably
you should probably go back to Sandy's Facebook page.
No.
Kidding.
Trouble once, and I don't want that to happen again. Yeah. So.
Nope. That's about all I got.
Okay. Artspartnership.net is the place to go on the internet. That's where your blog is, right?
That's correct. You go to theartspartnership.net and look for the link that says Arts Pulse. Click on that. You'll find the blog there. You'll also find links to our Facebook page, Twitter stream, all that kind of good stuff. And you can also sign up for our weekly email that goes out every Thursday. We've got a calendar of events on there. You'll find links to stuff on the blog, all sorts of good stuff.
And all the Tumblr, all the tells are on Tumblr too, right?
Yep. If you go to our Tumblr and search for hashtag the tell and hashtag the and or the tell Fargo, you'll find recordings there, audio that you can stream. From every single performance that's happened on the tell so far. I think we're up to like an hour and a half hour and a half's worth of audio of these stories.
Wow,
which is pretty cool.
Okay, thank you so much. I apologize for Scott's personality tonight, but that's okay.